Hi everyone, it's me, Sandy Cruz of Sandy K Nutrition, Health and Lifestyle Queen. For years now, I've been bringing to you conversations about wellness from experts from all over the world. Whether it be suggestions in how you can age better, biohacking, alternative wellness, these are conversations to help you live your best life. I want to live a long, healthy, and vibrant life. Never mind all those stigmas that as we reach midlife and beyond, we're just going to shrivel up and die with some horrible disease. Always remember, balanced living works. I really look forward to this season. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Sandy K Nutrition, Health and Lifestyle Queen. Today with me, my special guest is Amitai Eshel. He is the founder of Young Goose Skincare. Now, you're going to learn a thing or two about skincare and how to age better. So definitely grab my discount code, SandyK20, because I know you're going to want to try this stuff once you listen to this entire episode and see what the difference is between Young Goose Skincare and all the other companies and what they're doing out there. I've been getting way, way more active on YouTube and TikTok, so go follow me there, Sandy K Nutrition. I am most active on Instagram, I would say. Facebook, I have a page and I have a private group there. It's Sandy K Nutrition wherever you are. So definitely go and follow me there. I take one client a month for my Metabolic Balance program. Metabolic Balance, well, I can't say we cure, diagnose, or heal diseases, but it does require blood work and it does help to address the symptoms of metabolic syndrome. Is your waist getting bigger? Are you having issues with controlling your weight? What's happening with your glucose levels and so much more? If you want to get on my wait list, send me an email, sandy@sandyknutrition.ca. Definitely share this episode with someone who you know might benefit. This really helps to spread the word that there are alternative ways in which we can manage our health. And often I talk about things that are just not so mainstream. So definitely go to Apple Podcasts. All you have to do is type in Sandy K. My podcast will come up. Tap on that. Scroll down until you see write a review and write me a few kind words. Thank you so much. And now let's cut on through to this interview with Amitai from Young Goose Skincare. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Sandy K Nutrition, Health and Lifestyle Queen. Today, we're going to talk all things skincare with Amitai Eshel. He is the founder of Young Goose, the company that provides innovative skincare solutions dedicated to skin regeneration through the use of breakthrough cellular science. I am really excited to welcome Amitai because we actually met in person back in June at the first Biohacking Congress, and then we saw each other again in Miami and we're like, we gotta record because I love the products. I've been using them for a while and they are not the same as what's out there, which is what we're going to break down for you guys today. So with that, welcome, Amitai.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I'm really grateful to be here. I love you personally, Sandy. We obviously have a great time every time we get together. We also met in Boston.
Actually. Yes. Boston and Miami. Yes.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Yeah.
That's right.
But yeah, love you personally. Love listening to you. Very grateful that I can be here.
Yes. We definitely have a connection with you and Anastasia and myself, and we've chatted quite a bit. So, I mean, I know your story, but perhaps you can tell my audience, how did you get into skincare?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think everyone that is in the wellness space has some origin story on their personal whatever struggles and trying to solve them. And then maybe through understanding that they're not alone, then they go on this journey to help others. So for me, I can't say it was 100% a classic story like that, but there are commonalities. So I was the head of reconnaissance for Israeli's Special Operations Group. When I finished my service after around 5 years, I got recruited into what is the medtech world, and to deal with different applications, different innovations in those fields. And what was interesting to me specifically were things that that were more that helped people, you know, look their best, feel their best, etc. I was the head of one of the bigger red light therapy companies, which back then was with a therapeutic laser. We pivoted into red light therapy. That's where I learned about this health optimization field, or biohacking, or wellness, whatever you want to call this. Fell in love with the field as a whole. And by that time, I also was nursing my own injuries from the military, and really enjoyed intravenous applications, or IVs, of a substance called NAD, or NAD plus, or NAD, some people call it. And that is a, you can call it like cellular fuel. You can really look at it as youth juice, if you would. It's this magical molecule that fuels every repair process in our body, and we lowers with age. It actually lowers from when we're very young. So because it helped me personally, we tried to develop a product that would not cost so much money. Back when I did the IVs, it was over $1,000 an IV. Can you imagine, you know, liking something, understanding that the more you do it, the more it's going to help you, but then understanding it's going to be thousands upon thousands every month. So we tried to do a product that you would apply on your skin, and it's going to absorb and go into your bloodstream and, you know, benefit your entire body. We failed. The reason we failed is because the skin liked it so much and kept it. And basically used this material to raise NAD levels locally where we applied it in the skin. So we made lemonade out of lemons, and now we have Youngusta, the biohacking skincare company.
I love that. Okay, so NAD. Yeah. I mean, I take it internally. We were briefly discussing that. But why for your skin? Okay, all you brilliant biohackers and health conscious people out there, I'm going to talk to you about a product that you've probably heard about, but maybe don't know enough about. Colloidal silver. And this is colloidal silver from Silver Biotics. While Silver Biotics has many different products made with colloidal silver, today I'm going to talk to you about their immune support. Let me tell you why Silver Biotics is different. Some companies will state that they are colloidal silver, while they are ionic solutions with small amounts of colloidal silver. Silver Biotics uses electron microscopy in the process of producing their silver to check the structure and composition of the silver. Because of this process, this actually shows that they are a true 100% colloidal silver. Silver Biotics Immune Support provides daily support for your immune system to perform optimally no matter where life takes you. It is a powerful yet gentle supplement that can be added to any diet and lifestyle plan. I personally think this is great just because I'm not a big fan of boosting the immune system. We want to support it, and this is a perfect way to do that. Now, how does Silver Biotics Immune Support do this? It works by using multiple modes of action to keep your cells healthy. It's made with tiny silver particles that have a positive ionic charge, meaning they naturally attract and attach to pathogens. Silver Biotics Miracle Particle not only promotes a strong immune system, but it also promotes a healthy gut and does not harm probiotic bacteria. I have 30% off for you to go and try this yourself right now. Go to silverbiotics.com and use my code SANDYK30 for 30% off.
Wow, that's actually, there are so many great ways where I can answer that, but let's go with the most, you know, fundamental one.
Okay.
We age for the most part. Basically, 80% of the reason our skin ages is damage from the environment. Okay, simply put.
Yeah.
And in order to deal with that, with this damage and with the intrinsic processes that cause aging from within, we need cellular fuel, cellular repair fuel, which is called NAD. And especially because our skin is under a complete onslaught, right? It's basically our barrier, that the body's barrier to all of those environmental stressors, whether it is the sun, whether it is pollution. And by the way, if you live in Toronto, if you live in New York, Los Angeles, Miami, where we live, you are aging more from pollution than you are from the sun, especially if you live in Toronto. But
what about the suburbs? What about the suburbs? I'm in the suburbs.
Probably. You know, it depends on if you are in traffic. It depends if there are pollutants in the water, in the air next to you. It could be a combination of both. But imagine that this entire structure of us as a human being is kind of relying on our skin to sacrifice itself, especially as we grow older, and be that barrier, be that protective barrier, right? So in order for the skin to really address all of that damage that is created every second of our lives, even from artificial light, even from blue light, by the way, we need NAD all the time. The problem is that it lowers with age, and by the time we're 60 years old, we only have half of what we started with.
Yeah.
So, or actually, we have half of what we had when we were 30. So imagine. And that is why we need NAD as a whole. Okay. When we talk about us wanting to improve other things that we're doing, let's say we're doing the lasers, we're doing the microneedling, we're doing all of those things, the results we're going to get are directly correlated with the amount of NAD our skin can use. So it's not only like to keep ourselves young, it's also to fuel anything else, to potentiate anything else that we want to do. Having said all of that, there is another issue that's going on. Obviously, as we grow older, our body makes small mistakes that accumulate. You can think of aging as the accumulation of all the times your body made a mistake and didn't repair it. And it kind of was left behind. And these mistakes breed more mistakes, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And it becomes like a snowball. And in order to repair those mistakes in real time, our body basically starves NAD out of every other system. It's like, okay, we need to treat that now. You know, an analogy that I like to give is that we have two systems in our body as far as aging goes. One is like our police force. If anyone heard about like those magical, you know, longevity genes called sirtuins, that is our youth police force. It makes sure that all the information is in order, that our body function in a youthful state. But there is another set of units that are called PARPs, and they're like our fire brigade, our fire department. And when something goes wrong, where do you think most of the energy goes? If there is a fire, do you think we're going to split it evenly between the police officers and the fire protection officers? No, everything's going for fire protection.
Yes.
That's what happens in our body. So the more we grow older, there are more fires. There are more fires that our body is trying to put out. And that police force, that youthful state is being starved out of its energy, which is NAD. So we have to, even if we had optimal levels of NAD, the fact that there are those fires that our body is dealing with is even a more reason to supply NAD to our body. And guess where most of our fires are happening on a regular basis? In our skin. So most of those mistakes are actually happening in the skin. And not to scare anyone, but as they grow older, our skin is also a signaling organ. It tells the brain what's going on in the outside. It's like our eyes. It's like it has features that are like our eyes that relay information to our body. So that when that happens and there are a lot of mistakes, the information is also bad and it ages the rest of our body. So keeping our skin youthful will actually also keep you youthful on the inside.
Mm. Actually, we talked about that in one of our panel discussions about, you know, how our outside often will reflect our inside. And it really, to me, it really makes a lot of sense because going back 11 years ago, 10 years ago, my skin was worse in my 40s than it is now in my 50s. And I was going through a lot of health challenges at that time. So it makes a lot of sense. Now, NAD... Okay, because I know, you know, it relates to the mitochondria, right?
Yeah.
Our energy factories, mm-hmm. right? So I remembered you mentioning how the skin is kind of like the last.
Yeah.
I guess you're going to explain it way better than I can. But, you know, our body's mechanism, so I take it internally. So the NAD that I'm taking internally is working on all those internal processes, and the skin is kind of the last, right? Which is why skincare that promotes healthy NAD is really beneficial, right?
Yes, so that's a great point. So you could think of when we are living as human beings in a scarcity mentality, what happens, right? Where everyone's going to take care of themselves first. And as far as NAD goes, our body is living in a scarcity mentality. It means that when you and I take NAD orally, it goes to our stomach and then it goes to our liver and then it goes in our bloodstream, goes through our muscles, and then it gets to our brain and then maybe a little bit gets to our skin. And all of those systems make sure, especially our liver, by the way, make sure that they have topped off their NAD levels before they pass it on. They're saying, oh, NAD, I need that.
Yeah.
I'm going to hold on to it. So only 5% of the NAD that you're taking, or NAD precursors, building blocks, by the way, NAD is that complex molecule. The body has a hard time dealing with it. So it's going to deal with like the building blocks of it. Popular ones, they're called NR and NMN. But all of those molecules, they're only 5% gets from our liver to our bloodstream. So 95% stays up until that point. 95%, let's say, has been utilized. Well, that leaves us with a problem, right? 5% goes to our brain and then to our muscles. And then the skin is a huge organ, the body's largest organ. So what's going to happen is that your body doesn't know that, a furrow line is more important to you than, I don't know, behind your knee or, you know, on the small of your back.
Right.
It's going to, when you're going to get that, you know, teeny amount of NAD, it's going to be dispersed pretty much evenly or according to where you have more bloodstream or blood flow. So imagine that. It is very difficult to affect the entire body through that system. And that is why NAD, when you can have it where you want it in your skin, is so crucial, because the amount that you can give the skin to use in that area is thousandfolds more than what you could do supplementing. And unfortunately, NAD is not a very cheap supplement. So, you know, we can very easily spend hundreds of dollars a month if we wanted to have like optimal levels everywhere. And you could, through strategies like NAD skincare, you can definitely have a smaller budget for that.
Okay, so you explained what happens to our skin as we age, but what I'd like to cover off, because this is probably the biggest question is, you know, how do I know what to use? There is a million products of anti-aging skincare. And I've heard the term anti-aging. Well, we're all going to age, you know, chronologically, but we want to look better than our age. So I feel like, you know, what's most, like, I see so many products on the market. What is the most common thing that's out there that is not your product, right? Like, your product is different than everything, but we see so many products. I have some here that we'll get into later. Like, what is it? Like, there's natural products, and I know we've had that discussion. There's squalene, there's retinols, there's so much out there.
How about I give you a newsflash or a little bit like of a controversial piece of information?
Yeah, go for it.
So when you see an anti-aging product, it normally actually ages you faster. And normally products that are going to be anti-aging are not going to give you results. That's a very weird statement.
Yeah, it is.
But the reason is because what you are, when a product says, I am an anti-aging product, exactly like you said, it's a product that aims to have you appear younger. Not necessarily change your biological age or the skin's biological age, right? And products that, you know, potentially are going to lower your biological age are not necessarily will make you appear younger. Why is that? And then I think it's going to make a lot of sense what companies in general, what the industry is doing as a whole. But you can think of Botox, right? Botox makes you appear younger, or fillers make you appear younger. There's very little correlation between that and having you really functionally younger. So that's just a little snippet to make sense out of this. But let's say there is a product there that is going to have your skin at a younger biological age. First of all, that's a very long process. So one of the craziest, amazing discoveries, research that really made some waves in the longevity community, the anti-aging community, was about growth hormone protocol that could lower the biological age by 6 months. Okay? So think of how your skin looks 6 months ago. Think about today. I'm assuming not a lot changed. That, as far as the science goes, that's, wow, that's a lot, right? So first of all, that is number one. It's a very slow process. Number two, the skin has no idea a wrinkle is a problem that you want to fix, or a hyperpigmented spot is something you want to fix, or laxity is something that you would want to fix. So when we are lowering the functional age of the skin, for that matter, or the biological age of the skin, it doesn't mean that the skin is going to go, oh, I remember what it means to be younger. I didn't have wrinkles at that time. I'm going to go ahead and fix that. That's not really how it works. For that, we finished with that category. Okay, we're going to get back to it. We're going to understand why we want functionally younger skin.
Okay.
But it's definitely not to delete wrinkles. There's no master plan in our skin that says, I remember that when I was young, I didn't have wrinkles. We're going to go back to that. Where can we access the master plan that says young skin, or new skin for that matter, does not have wrinkles? It's when we create controlled damage. And that is where anti-aging products come in, or the appearance of younger skin comes in. And that is also what, let's call it like results-driven skincare or medical-grade skincare, has done in the last 25 years. Okay? What it really focused on is stimulating cellular turnover, which means cells rejuvenate. They create new cells. The problem with that is it happens naturally in the skin at a set rate. I'm sure many people have heard the saying, you know, in 7 years you're a completely different person. Every cell in your body has turned over, has changed. But when we're looking at results-driven skincare, and under that category, let's just lump in everything that says like anti-aging or whatever, or claims to make you appear better. What it does is it creates damage so the skin will know that it needs to repair itself faster. Okay, we're kind of trying to beat the skin to the curb. We're saying, okay, there is a wrinkle here. How do I make my body create more collagen there specifically? I'm going to create a little damage. My body's going to heal that injury. And then we're going to have a more youthful skin there that has more collagen, etc.
Okay, Kate, can I just interrupt? So when you say create more damage, you're talking about products that are like retinols or lasers even, or like things peels. Like that. Peels. Yeah. Okay, got you. Sorry, keep going.
So great. That's a great point. Retinol, peels, laser, scrubs, acids.
Yeah.
Anything that really asks the skin to renew itself.
Yes.
The problem there is that it is like, it's like working out. I think everyone would agree that they feel very tired after a workout and that there is such a thing as overworking out, right?
Yeah.
So in our skin, the line is very fine between exhausting your skin. And what we're seeing with people that, and we can get, there are like cellular mechanisms that we are exhausting. It's not like our skin is just, it can't breathe anymore. Like there are reservoirs of youthful cells that you are activating, that you're calling upon, and that you're going to miss later on in life. So we can see people who have been following, you know, have been using, you know, fill in the blank, whatever medical, dermatological prescribed brand that there is out there. These brands really focused on or cellular turnover or to ask the cells to renew. And you can see people after 20 years using that because it started 20 years ago. And you can see that their skin is very thin.
Yes, I've heard this. Yes.
They bruise more easily. And actually, when we are talking about things like another truth bomb, when we're talking about things like radio frequency or things that are more, let's call them under the surface, which create renewals, and that can be surgeries and things like that. What we are also doing is that we are making everything that we're going to do afterwards, like if we want to do another surgery 5 years later or whatever, harder and harder and harder. We really are tapping into reservoirs that our skin has kept for a rainy day, for that matter. So that is why I'm saying that anti-aging products, treatments, whatever, actually on a biological scale, normally ages you.
Wow.
Okay.
I've never heard this before.
Yes. And that is not, I mean, no one's hiding it. I mean, it's the person who's hiding it is the person from themselves, right? We all know that that if I create too much damage for the skin can basically become worse. But if you ask, you know, a plastic surgeon, like, should I come every year to do plastic surgery? They're going to tell you no. I mean, we're just not asking the right questions for that matter. So just a little tidbit. That is the world of skincare. It's a world of renewal, and hydration for the most part, which is also a very tricky subject because you're not really hydrating the skin. You are soothing the person. You're making the skin feel more hydrated for the day. You wake up the next morning, the skin's the same skin you had yesterday. You still need to apply more moisture, etc. So there's no something that's called carryover. So these are the products we have in this industry right now. And that is why we are left with this notion that youthful skin comes from within. We all kind of understand it on some deep level that we're calling on reservoirs, and we need to address that by treating our body in the best way that we can, so our body can handle that call on reservoirs. Maybe it can repair something there. Maybe it can create more reservoirs, right? Maybe it can slow down how it draws on reservoirs on that side of the map, like the inner side of the map. That is why that notion of, you know, beauty comes from within, not maybe not exclusively, but predominantly is perpetuated. But the truth is that 80%, as we said, 80% of what aging is from the outside. Okay.
Yes. Very enlightening what you're saying. Mm-hmm. But what I am also going to say is, like, you know, obviously certain things, and you can tell when you're looking at somebody, and I'm not judging people here, but, you know, you can tell when somebody drinks a lot of alcohol, you can tell when somebody smokes, like I can tell. But, you know, it's what's really interesting, Amitai, is that I can tell more often on women than men. Like, why is it? Why is it us women? Like, it just seems to be that we have more challenges than you guys. I don't know. Yeah. Can you answer that one?
Yes. Yes. Actually, for a few reasons. Number one, obviously, men shave. Okay. That's the easy, that's the lowest hanging fruit, right? Men shave. They call for, again, thickening of the skin. That's like just a small, you know, anecdote there. But I think there are different, you know, there are different characteristics for men and women. Another thing is that postmenopausal women, due to hormonal changes, they do lose more collagen.
And estrogen. Estrogen is big for skin. It's huge. Yeah.
Yes. And testosterone, by the way. So, women have less testosterone than men, but women have more testosterone than estrogen. Okay. Testosterone is still a more dominant hormone. So you're losing that as well. And that is also important for, skin health, etc. Another thing that you will be able to tell, by the way, is, when people are eating a lot of simple carbs, sugars, etc. There's a process called glycation. I know you're a champion of combating glycation, and glycation is huge for the skin. So glycation is when we have free float, for, you know, just using a very simple term, free floating sugar molecules that attach themselves to proteins and change how that protein functions, for that matter. So that you confuse that protein, have it bind to other protein, etc. So in our skin, it is enormously disruptive, AGEs, which are these molecules I was talking about. So just to give you an idea, you know, that's a huge discussion. Is sugar good, sugar bad? Should we have it? Should we not have it? In our skin specifically, it's very, very, very negative as far as the effects of sugar. And you mentioned alcohol. That's a big part of what alcohol does. Alcohol does other things with blood circulation. You'll see, you know, redness, etc. But as far as like damaging the makeup of the skin, bear in mind that there's a lot of damage there.
Yeah. And even back to what you were saying about over-exercising and overdoing it with the skin and over, like, making the skin thinner. And again, I'm not insulting you joggers out there, but there's a lot of joggers that are really not aging as well because of that free radical damage, right?
Yeah, I mean, free radical damage is enormous. It's a huge topic. And you actually said the magic word, which is not oxidative stress or free or anything that mentions the word oxygen. And I'll explain why. So yeah, when we expend a lot of energy, we use a lot of oxygen. The older we are, that comes at a cost. Okay? Imagine like an older car and a newer car. The older the car gets, the more gas it uses per mileage. Okay? We can think of that as far as oxygen goes. But when we expose ourselves to the elements, again, there is free radical damage that is caused, again, by the sun, by pollution, by things like that. And especially all of those artificial things, like when we run on, you know, on a busy road and we are exposed to all that pollution, etc. We are actually getting assaulted by free radicals that are not oxygen-based, that they are carbon-based, nitrogen-based. They are not our body has not evolved to deal with them whatsoever. It doesn't have a natural system like an antioxidant system that it does have, but it doesn't have anti-nitrogen free radicals. It doesn't have an anti-carbon free radicals system to deal with those things. And that is why they're so damaging. Not because there are more of them. It's just because we are not evolved to deal with them. Mm-hmm. You know, the stories of how when, you know, the settlers came to the United States or to Canada, to North America, and there was a lot of like plague that has been spreading through, you know, native communities. Why is that? Were there still people or whatever? They didn't have systems to deal with it. And when you don't have a system to deal with something at all, it is wreaking havoc. So we do not have systems to deal with other free radicals that are not oxygen-based. And that is, by the way, getting back into skincare. That's why newer skincare or more advanced skincare, or actually more expensive skincare, normally tries to address those types of free radicals as well.
Yeah, you hear about that in a lot of the skincare. You know, it addresses the free radical damage. But let's switch gears. Let's get into the cost. Because the thing that, you know, my husband, honestly, I think he wants to, he's not impressed with the amount of money I spend on skincare. So why is it that I can buy some serums that are not so expensive, other ones that are like $250 plus, and then other ones that are in the middle?
Yeah. Good question. So again, obviously, disclaimer, we do things a little bit differently, but we're going to talk about skincare as a whole. And we've helped numerous amount of brands over the years create their skincare. Before we get into it, let's just say that a brand normally aims at a multiple of five. Okay, normally, when you buy a product and it costs you, let's say, $100, it costs around $20 to get it out of the factory, for that matter. And when I say that, the ad budget is included in that, and everything else is included in that. Okay, it's $20 out the door. So when you look at a company, like a huge company that it, you know, has billboards and models and stuff like that, that's in that $20.
Wow.
It doesn't leave a lot of money for actual active ingredients. And you know, it's not only that ad budget, it's how big is this company? Do they have to pay like a million people to do every small thing there? Actual products, they normally do not cost so much money. You know, and I think it was like when I understood that a Prada sunglasses cost about 25 cents to make, and then they cost, you know, $300 to buy. There is a lot that goes into the cost beside the product. But if we talk about specifically about the product itself, why are there discrepancies even in price? And I'll start with another example. Did you hear about the lawsuit that had like a lawsuit that McDonald's lost in Australia?
No.
So McDonald's lost a lawsuit in Australia, and they had to admit that they basically what they do to meat. And I'm sorry for the example, but I really want to drive a point home.
Yeah.
What they do to meat is that they buy expired meat, inedible meat, and they basically get it through like this chemical laundry machine to repurpose it and have it at least not kill the person right away. You know, if you eat a lot of them, you know.
Oh, that is disgusting, though. I got to make sure my kid listens to this. Sorry, go on.
But imagine, so I don't know if it happens in the US, that was in Australia, which is why I'm very comfortable giving this example, because, you know, no one's gonna stop eating their burger right away. But
although you should, coming from a nutritionist, stop eating McDonald's. Sorry, go ahead.
But what I'm trying to say is that the same active ingredient has many different forms. okay? When you go to like some crazy restaurant or not, like to someone that you see them grinding the meat in front of you, it's not the same as buying a meat that, you know, whatever, fill in the blank. The same thing happens with active ingredients in skincare. You can have the same active ingredient and have it, you know, after it was like sitting on the shelf for a million years, for that matter, by the way, even if there are companies that are saying made in the USA, we should really have, or in Canada or in France or wherever it is, we should have a label saying maybe made and sourced in the USA, like that we have farm to table restaurants. Yeah. We should have like field to bottle products.
Yeah.
Right. Because most active ingredients are bought in China. So there is discrepancy in cost. That's very simple. There is also discrepancy in bulk production. So normally a product sits on the shelf anywhere between a couple months to 3 years. Mm. Okay, unrefrigerated, etc. And obviously, if my cost to make a product, I need to make small batches, and I want to make sure they are leaving the shelf every 2 months, that would offset the cost tremendously if I decided all of a sudden to have products made for the next 3 years. You know, that's you know, lowers costs by like fivefold.
Makes
for that
sense.
Matter.
Yeah.
So we have that. We also have research and development that goes into it. But the reason I hesitate is because that never is a large chunk of a big company's budget. That's the smallest part.
Okay.
A big company, what they try to do normally, like probably the biggest company in skincare came out a year ago with a turmeric line of products. And why do I like to give this example? It's not because turmeric is bad. We use turmeric in our care, which is our moisturizer with NAD, etc. But the reason that I like to give this example is because you, Sandy, and I have heard about the benefits of turmeric. Would you say 20 years ago? When would you say that?
Probably.
What's the time frame?
Even more bigger in the last 5 years, for sure.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Exactly. You're driving my point home, because what happens is that this company invests, instead of research and development in the product, they research what is the median person in Saskatchewan heard that is good for them, you know, today. What is the talk around the town?
Oh.
You know, when I say, oh, my hip hurts, you know, my friend in Alberta is going to tell me, oh, I heard turmeric is good, right? No one's going to say, you know, you should take NAD for 6 months and do ice baths, or maybe in Saskatchewan they do, but but basically, like it's what is the median understanding right now for the masses? They're not interested in like the next biggest ingredients or something like that. And even if they have it there, and a lot of the times, like a peptide that's called copper peptide, which is very, very effective, and we use it in our eye care. A big company might use it for its results, but they're not going to advertise it, because now, you know, no one's going to spend an hour listening to a podcast about that ingredient. Or some people would, people who are listening to this now, but most people would not.
Yeah.
So if you got until this far in the podcast, well done. You're a special person. But,
exactly.
You can understand that most of the people around you, anyone who's listening, look around you, unless you've recommended them, and you should, they are not listening to Sandy Cruz. If you drive in the highway, you look left, you look right, most people listen to the radio or whatever, and the radio is now talking about turmeric. It's not talking about copper peptides.
Ah, so interesting. I mean, mm-hmm. And it's hard to know where... As a woman who cares about my skin, where am I going to put my money? Which actually leads me to my next question. If you are a midlife woman, what areas are the most important areas where we should focus? So do I, like, I mean, I know I need to worry about sun damage because I did so much of that sun tanning in my youth with baby oil and no sunscreen. And so I'm still getting residual damage that keeps coming up every year. Mm-hmm. So yeah. What are the areas? Like, do we need a product for sun damage? Do we need we obviously need a sunscreen, but yeah. Like, you know, maybe top five. What do we need as a midlife woman?
I'll give you a top four.
Okay.
I'll say you need basically four things for a healthy skin regimen. Obviously a face wash. You need a treatment serum, you need a moisturizer, and you need sunblock. These are the four tenets. We can definitely, I'll even go ahead and say everything else is a subcategory of those. Like even if we talk about a toner, it is still tied to somewhere in the middle between like a cleanser and a treatment serum. It might have some active ingredients, but really what it does, it kind of primes the skin
yeah.
to absorb ingredients, right? So it's kind of a little bit like a cleanser still in the meta, in the kind of understanding of what we're doing to our skin. So like cleanser, treatment serum, moisturizer, and sunblock would be the four staples. Now, when we talk about a cleanser, we can talk about two things. Does it cleanse the face well and doesn't strip it from its natural oils? That's number one. Like, how does it cleanse the skin? And the other, if it has active ingredients. When we talk about the good cleanser, it should be doing that. It should be not, you know, doesn't have sulfates and phthalates and things that are going to really strip our skin from natural oils. And then if we are having active ingredients within it, we definitely want to keep it on the skin for like 2 minutes.
Oh,
okay. It's if you just lather your skin and wash it and you're expecting anything to absorb, that's kind of silly. Like you're not expecting your like you would be kind of upset if you left some cleanser behind, right?
Yeah.
If you didn't wash your face well. So those active ingredients need some time to absorb.
What? Okay. Can you give me an example of a good active ingredient in a cleanser? Like salicylic acid. Is that stripping? Is that a good one?
That's a stripping one, but that would be more for people who are acneic or weak. I told you that like skin hydration is a huge subject as a whole.
Yeah.
And it is, but for that matter, it would be for people who are interested in maybe having their skin less oily.
Okay.
But
like, what's another good one for a woman, a midlife woman? Like, what's a good active? Because in all honesty, I usually go with some sort of a cream cleanser because I want the moisture to be retained.
Okay, great. That is more of a user. Actually, we're getting into this great subject of like user experience. And I think it's a very important subject because we're not going to be consistency is key, obviously.
Yeah.
We're not going to be using things that don't make us feel good. And by the way, emotions are very important. So if something makes us feel good, it's going to work better.
Yes.
There's a reason placebo is like 30% of, you know, placebo is 30% as effective as real medicine. So just bear that in mind. So you have a 30% mental component to everything. And so just saying that, that's great. Does it make you feel good to use a cream based cleanser? Fantastic. But it doesn't mean that is the component there that keeps your skin unstripped or hydrated. Okay. We definitely can talk about that. But in general, salicylic acid can go into like, or any type, when you hear the word acid, aside from hyaluronic acid, it normally means we want to strip layers of the skin off, or strip, you know, some oils off the skin. That would be for more oily people. But in general, active ingredients, I'm gonna talk about what the framework that we used to choose our active ingredients. And maybe even if you want to invest in another brand, it can guide you.
Mm-hmm.
So we wanted to use broad spectrum elements. We didn't want to use like a specific fancy name. We wanted to take like an essential oil or like an extract that has a lot of good active ingredients within it to cover a big spectrum of things, like a full spectrum kind of active ingredient rich essential oil. And we chose chamomile essential oil and we chose ginger essential oil. And that's because both of them have incredible longevity boosting molecules within them. Okay. And we also have as we said, like a mental component there, we have a botanical blend that is supposed to soothe you, etc. So when you read the ingredient, make sure you have some kind of a broad spectrum ingredient coverage for that matter. Now, moving on to, if it's okay, moving on to the serum.
Yes, serum is important, right?
Yes, and actually, if you want to think about it, a moisturizer, even if it has active ingredients, the real purpose of a moisturizer is to cover all the bases, really to make sure that if you're using one product, you're covered. So it's going to normally also take care of hydration and a little bit of like simulation and a little bit of reducing irritation and inflammation, which is extremely important, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So it's going to be like a very general term. That's why most companies have like 10 serums and 2 moisturizers, right? Like one for the day, one for the night.
Because
it's really, there are the categories for a moisturizer, if we think about it, it's like, okay, I have oily skin, combination, dry skin.
Mm-hmm.
I have my moisturizer. But serums are where we can customize our routine. Serums are our customizers. What am I? Am I interested in hyperpigmentation reduction? Am I interested in redness reduction? Am I interested in wrinkle reduction, laxity, brightening, whatever that may be? We do it through our serums. That's how when we listen to music, there is the music track, and then there is the equalizer we can play there. I don't like bass. I like more treble. I like more whatever. So that's going to be our equalizer for that matter. And we really should read what the serums are meant to do. Normally, you can use more than one serum, okay? Actually, normally you can use serums together, like mixing them together in your hand. Normally, you want to do serums that are oil-based together and serums that are water-based together. They just mix better together. But in general, you could say, okay, you know what? Let's talk about our product because it's just easier for me. Let's say I am interested in an overall reduction of aging, of like activating my genes, my anti-aging genes, and I'm going to use ProCare, which is our hero serum. But I'm also interested in increasing my hydration levels, so I'm going to use our hyaluronic acid boosting serum. And I can mix them together in my hand. I can put one after another. Normally, the rule of thumb, if we want to kind of layer them, is thin to thick. So whatever's thinner in my hand will go first, and then whatever is thicker. And that's also why it makes sense to us to use a moisturizer after the serum, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Within that family, within that serum family, there is this magical ingredient called retinol.
Mm.
And retinol is really a magical ingredient. Okay. Recently there is a study that came out that said that it actually that's one of those products that doesn't only stimulate renewal, which I alluded to before, that can actually cause you to age faster. But if you did it responsibly, not too often, and treated your skin well, it can actually reduce the biological age of the skin.
Yeah, because I know people who say they can't do retinol because their skin is already thin, right? Like,
That's actually a huge misconception.
Okay, yeah. Because is it more about not using it as often? Like, I only use retinol once or twice a week. Like, does that make sense to you?
Yes, in general, you could. Yeah, I mean, again, you wouldn't expect someone, you know, in their 70s to train like someone in their 20s, right? There is a we're stressing the body with retinol.
Yeah.
So different stressors for different abilities to deal with that stress. Normally, retinol, what it doesn't thin the skin. And actually, it thickens the skin.
Okay, so yeah, so I've heard this that retinol thins the skin, and it was told to my friend from her esthetician.
Okay, great. And I wonder who told the esthetician that. But that's just my cynical self.
Okay.
Here.
Okay.
But retinol, what it does is it is a magical product. Okay. The problem with retinol is that it damages the uppermost layer of the skin. Okay. And this layer is where we have our nice oils and where we have our antioxidants and that mesh that helps our skin kind of be protected from the elements. And that is why we get peeling, red, irritated, etc.
Yes.
From retinol.
Yeah.
So this is called, by the way, retinol dermatitis, just to give you an idea. But that is why retinol should be introduced slowly.
Mm-hmm.
It should be started with a low percentage. But because you're doing that resilience building, you can definitely use it more often and a stronger retinol as time goes on.
Yeah, so because okay. It's like if you're training for a marathon, you're not going to go out and go at it hard right from the beginning, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah, and you can think of that's an amazing example because if you are a lifelong runner, okay, and you are really making sure you're not taxing your body too much and you're going with the pace that your body allows, obviously you could, after, let's say, 5 years of preparation, run a marathon. And that would probably be good for your health if you did it responsibly. But what would happen if someone off their couch will, you know, decide that they want to run a marathon, no training, run one tomorrow and complete it somehow? Okay. Do you think it made them live longer, or it actually would kind of get them closer to the grave? The same thing can happen with retinol. So we need to go low and slow, introduce it, not go too close to around our eyes. If we do want to use retinol for around the eyes, it should be even in a lower concentration. Where we can use retinol, by the way, is wherever we have like a bony structure. So we can go closer around where we have crow's feet. Okay. Just don't get too close, but go a little bit closer. What I would say is that if you're a person that likes what I'm saying right now and understands that retinol should be an integral part of everyone's skincare routine, but really you're one of those people that cannot use retinol whatsoever, what you can do is we call it the sandwich system, which is apply a little bit of moisturizer before, then use the retinol, and then use your normal amount of moisturizer.
I've done that.
Yeah.
I've done that.
What we tried to do with Youngus in order to, again, like look at a different angle of how you can use retinol, we said, okay, so what's the problem? The problem is that damaging to the skin's protective layer. And we developed a whole system of how do we rebuild someone's protective layer. Actually, that's a new product that you just asked us about recently, but that is it's called biomimetic lipids. So these are lipids that mimic how your skin builds or how a baby's skin builds its protective layer. And we match it together with a retinol. That's what we call it, bioretinol. But these biomimetic lipids rebuilds the skin protective layer while the retinol is working. And that allows us to use a pretty strong retinol with most people, 7 out of 10 people, not getting irritated whatsoever, even if they used it every other day or every day. And, you know, another 20% of people could use it every other day. And then 10% of people, those people that could never use retinol, they can use our retinol like once or twice a week.
Okay. That you're talking about the bio-barrier serum.
Bioretinol is the one that has
the bio-barrier
aspect.
Yeah.
With the retinol, and the one that you asked us about, which is only the system to rebuild the skin barrier,
yes.
It doesn't have the retinol with it, is called BioBarrier, which is not even out yet. Like it's
you got the scoop,
you know, it's before we released it.
Okay, so interesting, because 2 weeks ago I did IPL, and I found that my skin was kind of dry afterwards, and then I did a bit more of an invasive laser. It's a CO2 laser.
Yeah.
And I did that for these vertical lines because I don't want to go with Botox or filler above my lip. So it was so badly red, but it's supposed to do what you were talking about. So it ablates the skin. And then in 3 months, these vertical lines that I'm starting to have are going to dissipate because it brings water to the area and collagen. So BioBarrier is a great serum, I think, from what I understand. It's great to use when you have these kinds of invasive lasers. Does that make sense?
Yes, Sandy, but I'm going to break down a little what you said about bringing collagen in.
Okay,
water.
Yeah. Break it down.
So the laser didn't do anything besides injure you, okay? And a lot of people are going to also use it around the lips just to give people maybe another excuse to do that laser is a lot of people who are doing hair removal around their upper lip are going to have a larger, like a deeper pigment there over time.
Okay.
Like a little mustache. And that is another option, another reason people do that there.
Okay.
Not only for the vertical lines,
okay,
but also for the vertical lines. But really what happens there when we're saying, oh, it's bringing fill in the blank, your body is bringing fill in the blank, okay? And you are taking very good care of your body and of your skin, so it's going to do it in a more efficient way than if you were a smoker, a drinker, and a gambler. No, I'm kidding, but like someone who is... who doesn't take it, you know, that guy, that the person that eats McDonald's in Australia.
Yes.
But really, it's up to your body now to do what it does. And that is why you actually, the best way to improve results is how you treat yourself the year, the years, the months before that treatment, if it makes sense. And what I was saying is that what you did right now is literally injure your body in a very profound way. So that is why we can't just go ahead and do it more and more and more and more and more, because now we need to make sure that your body recovers in the best way possible. And make sure that next time it's at least going to get the same results if you chose to do it again in many years from now, because you have kept your skin in tip-top shape and your body in tip-top shape. So that is as far as like doing that laser. Now, using BioBarrier, using any type of product that rebuilds very fast your skin's protective layer is crucial, because imagine, you know, how well you were doing whatever task you were doing when you had little kids running around and bugging you, right? And mom, I need this. And mom, you know, the sandwich you made me has too much peanut butter and not enough jelly or whatever that is, while you were trying to do your best work. That's not as easy as, you know, being in your favorite room on your favorite couch and doing everything and everyone knows to leave you alone. That makes sense to most people. But really what happens in your skin, imagine that the skin still needs to function as that barrier to our body, getting that onslaught of UV radiation, artificial light. It's called HEV, high energy visible light, okay? And blue light within it, pollution, stress, emotional, that affects our skin, and we can go on and on and on. All of those things, dust, bacteria, dust mites, whatever. And now its skin barrier is compromised. So how do you think it's going to repair itself when all of this is happening and there is no skin barrier to help, you know, isolate it in its favorite couch and room? So that is why the most important thing you want to do is kind of protect the skin. And remember, the next subject is within that list is our moisturizer and sunblock within those four products that I recommend everyone to have. But this is crucial. And that's like a short term after a treatment. We can also use products with vitamin K that support blood supply. That's very important, but that's like beside the point. The most important is that skin barrier. And we can talk about other things, antioxidants, etc. Things that are, again, what are they doing? They're helping the body deal with that stress. But really, we've done enough stress. Like, there's no reason to use those active, like retinol now on it all of a sudden. Because why? Because we've already stressed the skin. Now we need to support it. Going to a moisturizer is not going to solve hydration issues. We can do it through serums, right? We can potentially, if we chose the right serum, what we aim to do as far as resolving, for example, in Youngus, what we do in order to resolve hydration, we have your skin produce more hyaluronic acid. We can do it mildly through ProCare. We can do it through a specific serum that's designed for it, that's HA Boost. But that's where we solve hydration issues if we can. A moisturizer really gives the hydration for the day, like provides that good hydration barrier, prevents water from escaping the skin. That's called transepidermal water loss. So, which is different from sweating, but really evaporation of water from the skin.
Mm-hmm.
That is really what it does. So when someone's drier and they apply a lot of heavy moisturizers, that's fine if that is the experience you want to have, but it's not necessarily solving a hydration problem. And if you're getting some clogged pores alongside heavy moisturizer, bear that in mind. That's an issue. Same thing with someone that has oily skin. If they are not going to apply moisturizer, their skin might become oilier. Okay, because the skin then feels like it needs to compensate for that lack of perceived hydration. So actually applying a moisturizer might balance the skin oils or help balance them. As far as active ingredients in a moisturizer, these are second to serums. Okay, so most of that stimulation, most of those things are going to be attributed to serums. So your moisturizer should be something that you're comfortable with, and the support, the ingredients that they're, as far as actives, they should be more supportive ingredients, more fueling ingredients rather than, you know, stimulating ingredients. There is a caveat, like if you use a night cream, a lot of the times it's going to be like an all-in-one, like a kitchen sink approach to night cream, especially like neck creams. They do it a lot. They know that you're not going to use like 11 products, and people are kind of they have less motivation at night maybe to use a lot of products. So it's going to be more of an all-in-one approach, which is not necessarily positive. I mean, the reason is this, and that's maybe something, another scoop, okay? A product can only, or for the most part, can only absorb into one specific place in your skin. Okay, so where you want some of those actives are very deep into your skin, but your, it's called a vector, like the carrier doesn't go there. The thing that holds that molecule doesn't go there. Okay, and so creams or moisturizers, they stay more on the top of the skin or, you know, on that amount. And serums, we actually want to go deeper. And that's why like an all-in-one product might not be the best idea. What we do in order to bypass that is we use nanoparticles, which then can absorb deeper. But in general, that's that makes product way more expensive. And you can bypass that. You can save a lot of your budget by using a good serum and a basic cream.
I've heard that. I've actually heard that exact thing. Is if you really, because the fact of the matter is, Amite, is that not everyone has the budget to get top-notch products for all areas. And I've heard spend the money on the serum.
Well, yes, but that's, again, that implies that you're going to get more than one product. So I want to be careful and say if you needed one product, only one product, that's your budget, that would be a moisturizer. And that would, you would go maybe to an all-in-one moisturizer. When the first product we came out with, getting back to our story, that origin story that we had, is we came out with Care NAD Boosting Moisturizer.
Right.
And it in the beginning, just because the amount, years on years and you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars spent on R&D, the cost of the product, also because we were the only ones making those ingredients, like there was no one else to share that cost with us, right? So the product, we didn't even make money and it was $200. And we felt that this is that one product that everyone in the world should be using. So when we grew and we could afford to lower the price of the product, we lowered it dramatically by more than half. And the reason was, is because we said, you know, we need a product, or we need this product to be used by anyone who can afford like $100 every, you know, three times a year. But normally what happens to companies is when they grow and the product becomes cheaper to make, what do they do? They fill in that gap with marketing, right? I have a $200 product. It costs me, let's say, $50 to make. And suddenly it costs me, you know, $20 to make. So what am I going to do? I'm not going to lower it by that multiplier. I'm going to invest $30 into advertising, right?
Yeah.
And that's a choice. That's fine. But we felt like it should be like one product that everyone's using, we said, you know what, let's lower it to a price that we can still afford to lower it to, but to have it accessible to more people. So that's a long story to say, if there is only one product that you're going to use, have a good moisturizer. And that's not to say that you shouldn't be using sunblock. Okay, so the last, you know, the fourth product in that essential list is a sunblock.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that? It's because most of the damp, again, most of the aging we're going to get is external aging, extrinsic aging, it's called. It's aging from the elements, from exposure to stressors. So if we did everything right, but then we went to the sun and or to pollution or whatever, and we got or sat under artificial light in front of our computer all day, we are going two steps forward, three steps back. Okay. That is why protection from the elements is so important. Within sunblock, obviously, we want to make sure it's a non-chemical sunblock or mineral sunblock. So have zinc oxide is the best molecule to look for. But another scoop, the fact that it says mineral sunblock doesn't mean it's 100% mineral sunblock. So you should, you know, sunblock is a drug. It's considered a drug. And the active ingredients, the ones that block the sun, have to be listed on the bottle under drugs, okay, or active ingredients, etc. So if you flip the bottle, you'll see like a little chart that says like drug facts, and then the name of the specific material that blocks the sun. And the reason we want mineral sunblocks is because they deflect sun rather than absorb sunlight and basically convert it into heat. That's number one. And that heat can, to make a long story short, it's extremely negative. But also what chemical sunblocks do, because of that, they don't let toxins be released from your skin. So it builds toxins in the top layers of your skin and actually damages the skin in that way too. That's why we want mineral sunblock and 100% mineral sunblock. So the best ingredient just to look for is zinc oxide. There is a lot of studies around antioxidants being combined into sunblocks.
And moisturizers. Yes.
But
and makeup. You know, like...
And in serums in general, yeah. Antioxidants are very important. But if we want to look at why does one sunblock, you know, they have the same. So that's in sunblocks, it could be a crazy, crazy example. On every sunblock has a grade SPF 40. Okay,
yeah.
So why does one cost $10? Another one costs $100.
Yeah,
they're the same grade. So actually, even as far as like blocking the sun, if you have an antioxidant attached to the sunblock, it is a better sunblock.
Oh, good to know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that is because the thing that sun rays, UV rays, what they do to the skin is that they create free radicals. Mm. Okay. So we want antioxidants. You know, there are now newer sunblocks that deal also with pollution and also with blue light. And we even went a step further and dealt also with EMF, with basically the radiation that is from your Wi-Fi, etc. But you see sunblocks that are covering more bases than just the sun. And as I keep repeating, most people are going to age more from pollution than they are from the sun. So that is why.
Okay. All right. Well, this is a lot of information for my audience. And I think that it's very useful information. But what I want to do is ask you, first I'm going to ask you one statement that differentiates Young Goose from all the other high-end anti-aging skincare products?
One statement would be functionally younger skin and functionally younger looking skin.
Okay. Yeah, because not only is it, well, it's in the same, I guess, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, in the same category as anti-aging. However, it actually helps to repair in the aging process. So It makes your skin act younger. Does that make sense? Yeah.
That is exactly what it does. It harnesses that central fundamental state that our skin knows it needs to be in, and it directs it there instead of the more long way, which is actually everything we spoke about on the podcast today, everything that we need to go through, stimulate and support and whatever.
Yes. Yeah.
We go straight to the source, how your skin need, what is the youthful state in your skin. And we get your skin there, and we can have the skin behave 20 years younger than what it is normally.
Okay. Perfect. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to actually show a few of my favorites, not all of them, but a few. And you're going to tell me what this is used for. And these are specifically Young Goose products that I have and have been using. And actually, my daughter's been using some as well. And She's not aging yet. Well, she is aging. We're all aging, right? But she doesn't need the same products as me. But sometimes it works, and some of these products are good for her and good for me. So here's one. It's the Young Goose Green Tea Phyto Serum. Why would somebody use that?
Inflammation, redness, and antioxidants. And if you use red light therapy.
Yeah, and I have a bit of rosacea, so I use it for that. I also do red light therapy with my Juve panel in my therapy room. So amazing. Now, next one, young goose, hyperbaric mask.
So this mimics us being like in a hyperbaric oxygen therapy.
We put I love
it
that.
At night before we go to sleep, and it literally basically like puts our skin in repair overdrive.
Ooh, okay, I love that. Okay, here's one that I've been using the longest so far. It's the Young Goose ProCare Vitamin C Serum.
Yeah, this is an overall age reversible serum. Okay, so again, like if you want to cover all the bases, that's your serum. Really eliminate all that malfunctioning cells and create more collagen and have better genes, everything.
And it's good for pigmentation, right?
Pigmentation, wrinkles, laxity, hydration, support, everything.
Okay, next one. Young Goose Eye Care, Eye Cellular Anti-Aging Repair and Energy.
So this is an all-in-one treatment for the eyes. Okay, wrinkles, puffiness, tightening, has okay. the NAD, has all the good stuff.
Has the NAD, beautiful. Okay, well, I think there's way more products than that. I'm just giving a few. Because these are some of my favorites. And I want to ask you to tell everyone where we can find you. And we do have a discount code, SandyK20 for 20% off your first order. And then SandyK5 for thereafter. Because once you start, you're probably not going to want to stop. So, yes. But where can we find you?
So we are younggoose.com. That's our website. We have a very informative Instagram page, which is young_goose_skincare. That's probably the best way to start your Young Goose journey. Just follow us on Instagram. And if you do go to the website, there is a quiz you can take. It's going to direct to exactly which products you want to use. And you can take it from there. We also have the Young Goose podcast, which is called Biohacking Beauty Podcast. Which is a very, that's the nerd out. Okay. This is if someone wants, to go into a very deep dive on things that are going to have you function in a youthful state, that's going to be that podcast.
Yeah. I love it. And I get your newsletter too. And yes. I love that you nerd out on all the science-y, like we were talking about that earlier. Like, if you want to know the science behind a lot of this, you gotta definitely sign up for the newsletter and check out the podcast. And thank you so much for coming today. I am so honored to know you guys. I love you guys. You are just so brilliant. And I just want to thank you for your time today.
It was absolutely my pleasure. I hope we didn't, I hope I didn't go too technical into some elements. I really tried to give the best value and try to entertain. But I love you, Sandy. You're doing an amazing, amazing work.
Thank you, Amitai.
I hope you enjoyed this episode. Be sure to share it with someone you know might benefit. And always remember, when you rate, review, subscribe, you help to support my content and help me to keep going and bringing these conversations to you each and every week. Join me next week for a new topic, new guest, new exciting conversations to help you live your best life.